Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Good evening. Good evening. This is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show, and I thank you for coming on and being with me tonight. Tonight we have a guest who will be on speaking about living with hemophilia. And there is something called Factor V111, which I will call it F8. And it's an essential blood clotting protein, also known as anti-hemophilic factor. In humans, factor 8 is encoded by the F8 gene. Defects in this gene result in hemophilia A, which is what we're going to talk about tonight. It's a recessive X-linked coagulation disorder. In other words, your blood doesn't clot easily. Factor 8 is produced in liver, sinusoidal cells, and endothelial cells outside the liver throughout the body. This protein circulates in the bloodstream in an inactive form bound to another molecule called von Willebrand factor until an injury that damages blood vessel occurs. In response to injury, coagulation factor 8 is activated and separates from von Willebrand factor. The active protein, sometimes written as coagulation factor villa, interacts with another coagulation factor called factor 9. This interaction sets off a chain of additional chemical reactions that form a blood clot. So we're going to talk about blood clotting and this hemophilia. But first, I'm going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to speak to my guest.
My name is Sheila White. I am the president and co-founder of Her Cries Are Heard, an organization that focuses on preventing violence against females. One in three women have been victims of physical abuse or violence by an intimate partner or non-partner within their lifetime. 94% of women killed by men were murdered by someone they knew. Violence can affect a woman's physical and mental health and also negatively affect her children. In 1991, my sister was murdered by her husband, and in 2013, my niece was murdered by a man who followed her home from a party. Being a victim of violence is devastating to the victim and the victim's family. Help us to help you. Help us to prevent this from happening to you or someone you love. Please look at our website, www.hercriesareheard.org. for the prevention tools and referrals to help save lives.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White. Okay, we're back, and I'm going to introduce my guest, Mr. Harvey Liverman. Mr. Liverman, are
Hello.
You there?
I am. Thank you for having me.
Okay, thank you for being on my show tonight. I appreciate that. And we're
thank
going
you.
To talk about living with hemophilia. And hemophilia A
is also called the factor, the F. Is that FA8 or FVIII? What do you
so
guys
those are
call
just,
it?
So it's factor 8 deficient. So those are just
okay.
Roman numerals. So the F just means factor, and then the numerals are either
right.
like 8 or 9. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, do you want to tell us about it? You can talk to us about it.
Yeah. So, long story short, an easier way to explain it. So, one of the most misconceptions of hemophilia people have is, like I'll get a cut and then, I won't be able to stop bleeding. And it's kind of just not really the case like that, really. We clot, it just takes a long time. And it just kind of depends on your severity of hemophilia, how long that would take. So, our bleeding is more internal than external, which is more of a problem. So we get these bleeds in our joints and our muscles, and sometimes we have, little bleeding. So what happens in having bleeds, what we call them, you bleed inside of that joint. So, you're bleeding inside of it, and, it swells. It's very painful. It's a painful experience. And then muscles can be painful as well, and then sometimes they can spread. So you just have, different bleeding. You have oral bleeding that can happen from, oral surgeries or, visits to the dentist, things like that, the cups to the gums, anything like that. The possibilities of just getting different types of bleedings. They're numerous. You have GI bleeding. Severe, chronic bleeding, the dangerous type of bleeding would be, of course, no other than any other human being, like head bleeds and, things up the neck and abdominal bleeding. Those are, very, very life-threatening bleeding. But majority of times with hemophiliacs, we just bleed our muscles and our joints. And sometimes we have what we call a target joint, and that's just kind of the area where you tend to get, the injuries more than you use, more than everywhere else.
So what you're saying is that, so what you're saying is that if you were to cut your finger, then the bleeding would be on the inside and not external?
No. So with hemophiliac, so if we get a cut, we would just hold pressure like any other person.
Right.
It just takes longer to clot. That's all that is. So our bleeds happen, from, physical activity, falls, bumps, things like that, or just, normal wear and tear on that joint or muscle. There's three different severities of hemophilia. You have your milds, you have your moderates, and you have your severes. And I'm a severe hemophiliac. And then also you have what we call an inhibitor. And easiest way to explain an inhibitor is your body doesn't recognize the factor, which is the medicine that we're getting, as a good thing. So basically your body fights it off. So that makes, healing and, getting medicated kind of a longer process. It also makes bleeds kind of harder to fight. So it just kind of makes it more difficult to control, which is kind of my issue. Which is kind of, the worst type of hemophilia that you can't have. So basically your cuts and bleeds, you just hold pressure to it. If it's bleeding a little out of control, you just treat for it. But really it's just it's the eternal bleeding that's really the problem with hemophilia.
I can understand why that would be a problem if it's more so internally. And you said it's very painful as well.
Yeah, I couldn't explain. When people ask me how does it feel to have a bleed? It's kind of, I don't know how to explain. It hurts a lot. I don't know if I've never broken a bone, so I don't know how that feels. But an ankle bleed to me kind of feels like a bad sprain, but someone's standing on it. It just really hurts. I can't really explain how bad it hurts. But it's a chronic thing. It's a very painful bleeding disorder. It can't be.
And it's genetic from what I researched.
Yes.
Who else?
So it's carried by
family?
The X chromosome. So, it's passed down from the X chromosome. So basically it means that women carry the disorder, but men kind of have the symptoms. So that means a woman can carry it. So that means that her children we have a 50-50 chance. So, like, her daughter will have a 50-50 chance of being a carrier, and then her son will have a 50-50 chance of having hemophilia. Women technically don't have the symptoms, although there are rare occasions where there can be symptomatic carriers, and then they can have weeds, which is kind of a, you know, very rare occasion, but it happens. I know a couple. So in my case, there is no history. It's just a mutation. And a lot of times severe in those with inhibitor, the dysuria caused by like just a mutation in genes. So in layman's terms, I just drew the lucky straw on that one. Like, it's just, there's no
So your mom is a carrier.
All.
Is that what you're saying?
Actually, you know what? There's no, technically you would call it that, but there's no history of hemophilia on her side of the family either. So
no one else has it but you?
Yep, and I have a biological sister, and she's not a carrier at all. There's no history of hemophilia in my family at all. My mom tried to trace it years ago. There is no history. Like I said, it's just a mutation. So, I got lucky.
You drew the short straw.
Yeah, yep, there you go.
Oh, okay. So how long or when were you diagnosed?
So a lot of times, you know, I mean, people that know that, you know, they have that family, obviously they just get tested. They knew right away through circumcision. Obviously there was some bleeding, longer bleeding going on. So they kind of figured something was awry. And so I but there's some mild or moderate that, you know, don't have bleeds for, you know, a very long time in their lives. And then they just randomly have one and then find out. But usually severe is, you know, they know right away.
Well, usually children, I mean, as you were growing up, just playing, you know, you fall off a bike or just fall, period, you know, just playing around. You had to, but you knew because you were circumcised. So you had to be very careful. Were you on medication when you were younger?
So the medication that hemophiliacs take are, they're a blood product which has that missing clotting factor. You have like basically there are like different steps on your clock. So like I'm missing like that step 8, or what you can call it that. And so with that, we call it factor. And so the medication does, it just replaces that clotting factor that you're missing. And so it's done intravenously. So we, you know, it's done like through, through a needle. So for example, they call them butterflies, but I'm pretty sure you had your blood drawn before. And so we use those needles. We just put it through our vein. So that's how we take our meds, is intravenously. That's the only way to take it, is intravenously. So I've been on that my entire life. I mean, it's just part of my life. It's, you know, that's just how we heal. It's our medication.
Oh, okay. So are you married?
So I am not married.
You don't
have
married, any children?
I do have children. I have a girlfriend, but I have two children. I have a 9-year-old daughter. Her name is Kyra. And I have a 5-month-old son. His name is Thor. And my daughter, she is a carrier. And, of course, since I so hemophiliacs, how it goes genetically, since I am a boy and I have an X chromosome, I can't pass it on to a boy. But I can make a carrier daughter. So my son is fine. So,
but
my daughter,
a female
Kyra,
can.
A carrier. Yes, and Kyra and my daughter is a carrier.
Okay. Very interesting. Very interesting. Okay, we're going to take a break. So I would like for my listeners to know that if you have a question or would like to make a comment to Mr. Liverman, all you have to do is press the 1 on your keypad and you'll be streaming live and you can talk to him. So ask your questions, get them ready. When we come back,
we'll be right back after these messages.
This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Mm-hmm.
magnify his name with Elder Charnell P. Blaine and Divine Purpose. For all ministry engagements, contact us at area code 267-240-0709 or email us at dpministry01@aol.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we're never too tired to give God an unconditional praise. Magnify his name.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White. Okay, we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show with our guest, Mr. Harvey Liverman. And I see we have a couple of people that would like to talk to you, Mr. Liverman. So, caller, you're on with Mr. Liverman. Do you have a question or a comment? Hi, how you doing?
Hi,
good. How are you?
Go ahead, caller.
Hi, my name is Margaret, and I'm from Detroit. And I tried to give blood a few times, but because I am a clotter, they told me I couldn't give. And I always thought about the hemophiliac who required some blood clotting. Why wouldn't they take my blood?
Right. So in cases like that, it's probably more of a medical reason why you can't. So with our medicine, it's actually made from the plasma of your blood. If you have, so basically, I mean, I used to work for a plasma center, so we sometimes got these cases. So if you have, so basically because you're a clotter, it's kind of like backwards of what I have. So there are certain, you know, things that you can't have wrong with your plasma or your blood in order to give. So your, what's going on with your blood is technically, it's not a disability, it's just, you know, it's basically you wouldn't be able to give anybody. It has to be, like, just straight up, like, the clean plasma. And since yours, they wouldn't be able to, like, clean up your levels. Like, it has to be, like, clean, clear plasma. So, for example, like, I couldn't give anybody blood because my plasma doesn't have, you know, the clotting factor 8. So I'm unable to give blood or plasma. So your blood, basically, you know, it just can't have anything wrong with it. That's just kind of the issue. So because your blood, if you were to give, you know, your stuff to someone, I mean, the clotting would be too much. So they have to be able to control that when they, you know, put it in the lab, freeze dry it, you know, clean it, you know, a million times, and then give it away to companies in order to make medicine out of it. So it just has to be able to be manipulated. So it's unfortunate, I'm very happy that, you know, you at least wanted to give blood. I mean, I you know, praise and I thank everyone who, you know, wants to give blood and plasma. It's so very important. People need that. So I mean, it just. For me, just personally, I mean, I thank you for at least wanting to, but it's just too bad that you couldn't do it. But you know, the action is what matters. So, I mean, for me, thank you.
Well, you're quite welcome. I'm sorry it didn't work out.
So, did he answer your question, caller?
Yes.
Did you have another question? Miss Margaret? No.
I was pretty much satisfied with what he said. I thought he found it confusing, but understandable.
Okay, well, listen, I'm glad that you called in.
Thank you.
And we have another caller. Hi, caller. You're on the air with the Jenny White Show. Do you have a question or a comment?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, this is very interesting tonight. I just wanted to ask Mr. Liverman to clear up something for me. As I was listening and you said, you know, how hemophilia is spread and things like that, I was always under the impression that it had to be two like relatives or two like relatives that could cause that problem too, you know, when they create a child. But you're saying that's not necessarily so. So can you just go back over just a little bit for me what, you know, what the basic causes for hemophilia are? Because I thought they had to be like two cousins. You know, I'm seriously.
Right.
This kind of thing.
No,
and a child would be born like that.
Right. No, I actually know exactly what you're talking about. So that's a myth. So let me tell you where that came from. So, you know, the first case of hemophilia came from Prince Alex in Russia. Okay. So, it's, you know, it's also called the royal disease. Okay. From Alexis. Okay. So what happened? Mm-hmm. So the only reason why they think that is because, you know, the queen happened to date her brother. So they thought that, you know, people kind of got history lesson a little messed up there. So they kind of thought that because of her actions, then the prince, that's why the prince had hemophilia, when in actuality, scientifically, it's just a mutation in the X chromosome. So that's the reason why.
Okay.
That's just there. That whole part of it is a myth. I've been asked that question many times. it's just because of the action of the queen that people think that that's how it's done. In reality, it's just a mutation, and it's just genetic, and you know, you have to have that mutation with the X chromosome, so you only can pass it to a daughter who can be a carrier. So sometimes she can be symptomatic. Now, there are rare occasions where you can have a woman hemophiliac, and the only way that can happen
mm-hmm.
is if two hemophiliacs have a child together, and that's highly
different. I see.
But, yeah, but the whole, you know, the, you know, cousin, brother.
Well, let me ask you this, and I won't keep you any longer.
That's fine.
Is there like a percentage of people that you know of, or do you know of any statistics as to how many, you know, like so many to one, or some, you know, so many and so many is in hemophilia, something like that, some kind of a percentage?
Yeah. So I think recently, I think it was 1 in 15,000, I think, or 1,500,
oh, wow.
I think it was something like some statistic like that. Yeah, the numbers are, it's surprising because, you know, some people can have a bleeding disorder and not know. I mean, you have to have symptoms. So, like, I know some hemophiliac buddies who are mild hemophiliacs, but they never actually had a bleed. And the only reason why they know they're hemophiliac is because they just happen to get testing. And then they're just like, hey, you know, you have hemophilia, you have this mutation going on. So, I mean, you walk past hemophiliacs every day and you wouldn't even know it. I mean,
wow.
You know, it's actually, you know, it's not as uncommon as people may think. For example, you know, I live in Ann Arbor area, and a lot of the guys, I went to hemophilia camp as a child, and a lot of our friends and us, like, we live in this area, and there's a ton of us out here, and you know, I'm pretty involved in my community, and I've gone to gatherings, and I've gone out to different places, I've met some people, and, you know, they happen to have a family member with hemophilia, or, you know, so, I mean, it's not as uncommon as you think, but it's just also one of those things where it's not totally heard of, because even in medical school, it's something that they breeze right past. So that's why, you know, the foundations that I, you know, do things with, you know, we're all about, you know, teaching. And that's just kind of one of the things, you know, we're always trying to teach others what hemophilia is, because, you know, it's good to educate others about this, because even in medical school, it gets breezed over so quick. You'll be surprised. And how many times, if I'm on vacation, if I have a bad bleed, I go to the hospital or something, I'll see a doctor in the ER, and they're asking how long I've had hemophilia. And in medical school, you're supposed to know, like, this is something you're born with. So it's like one of the things that used to aggravate my mom a lot. Like, whenever a doctor would ask, like, how long have you had hemophilia? My mom was like, next, can we talk to someone knowledgeable about this, you know? So it's just something that we just try to, you know, educate. But, you know, to your question,
uh-huh.
that whole thing was just...
Okay, thank you. I really appreciate it. Like I said, it's a very interesting show.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling.
All right.
Okay, Mr. Liverman, I was trying to look that up. I did read somewhere about a number, the number that they had. I don't recall what it was. But it says that there is a multimeric protein that is required for platelet adhesion, and it is known to affect humans and several breeds of dogs. Have you heard about that one?
So I've heard the thing about the dog thing. I haven't heard too much of it, but I just kind of heard through the grapevine that it was something that was kind of discovered. It's nothing that there's not too much talk in our community about it, but... No, I believe it. I definitely do.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they can have cancer in rats. I mean, possibility.
Yeah.
Really,
well, I think they're giving the rats the cancer.
Yeah, no, agree.
It's just, you know. Okay. We're going to take another break, and we'll be back.
We'll be right back after these messages.
This is Carla Cook, daughter of the legendary Sam Cook, on tour now with wondrous stories, the life and music of my father, Sam Cook. You can find me at carlacook.com. Remember, that's Cook with an E. And follow my Facebook page at The Carla Cook. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at The Carla Cook. I hope to see you soon on stage in a city near you.
Want to start a business or have tax issues? We know exactly how to handle your individual needs. We personalize each individual and give you the time required to focus on your needs. We audit you before the IRS does. The IRS is not on your side, but we are. We set up companies, do tax preparation, tax and retirement planning, bookkeeping, IRS audits, and reviews. Please call me, Deborah Mitchell, owner of Mitchell & Company, for a free consultation at 248-354-5122. And visit my website, MitchellTaxAccounting.com.
It shouldn't be as hard to find a graphic designer with great customer skills, over 20 years of experience at an affordable price. Accent On Design by Luz offers you personable service with great attention to detail. Find me on Facebook at Accent On Design by Luz. Email aodbyluz@gmail.com or call 267-753-5936. If you can imagine it, I can help you create it.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White. Okay, Mr. Liverman, we're back. And I'd like to tell my audience, if you have a question or would like to make a comment, you may press the 1 on your pad and you will be streaming live like the rest of them. And we're talking tonight with Mr. Harvey Liverman, who has hemophilia A. And for what I've been reading, Mr. Liverman, hemophilia A is just one. There is also a hemophilia B. Mm-hmm. And A is supposed to be worse.
Most common.
Than B.
Yep.
So why is it? I mean, what's the difference?
So with A, I mean, it's just the most common factor deficient that there is, but also it's because of the inhibitor. So the people with inhibitor are the factor 8 deficient, so that's why. So with the inhibitor thing, that's when I told you it's when the body doesn't recognize that the medicine that you're giving them is a good thing. So it takes a lot longer to fight the bleed that the hemophiliac is having. It takes longer to just control the bleeding. For example, So severe. I'm gonna give you some examples of how severe like my bleeds can get. So, one day I went in for just a simple blood draw for some testing, and I have to get testing every 6 months. And so I just had a normal, blood draw, and the next day I woke up with like a whole arm bleed. And so visually,
Wait a minute. You said you went in. And then the next day you woke up. I mean, you didn't stay there, right?
Yeah. No, because it was just a regular doctor's appointment. So I go see the hematologist every 6 months. And so there's blood work to be done. They want to check your levels, your factor levels, everything else. They also do AIDS and HIV testing for it because that's always a concern because you're dealing with blood products as far as medicine goes. So, you're just doing your regular testing.
Right. Okay.
And so the next day I woke up with like my whole arm was swollen. It was painful, things like that. If I get a normal, knee bleed and my knee swells and it hurts, your normal hemophilia could get over that knee bleed. I don't know. Sometimes overnight. Sometimes it takes 2 days, 3. I've been hospitalized for a week. Sometimes 2 weeks. it just takes longer to control the bleeding. And because my body is fighting off the factor, so there's also so much to take. You have to take so much at one time. So that's why it's just more dangerous because of a factor VIII deficient, hemophiliac A patients can have an inhibitor. And that's why.
When you go in for your blood test, you always have a reaction?
No. This is just a rare, a freak accident. This is just something that randomly happened. Normally I take blood draws just fine, but sometimes I just get these crazy bleeds for no reason and they just get out of control. And that's just how severe I am. I am a very, very special case of hemophilia. And like I said, I have other hemophiliac friends that I've grown up with since I was 7 years old, and their bleeding is nowhere near as bad as mine.
did you have any nosebleeds or anything?
Oh yeah.
Like children?
Oh yeah. Like around the wintertime, nosebleed season, got tons of them. Nosebleeds are always a concern, but like any other person, I would just, plug my nose, just hold it. Sometimes I got to hold it longer than everybody else. Sometimes I'm holding my head back for about 10, 20 minutes. Sometimes a half hour to an hour. Just kind of depends on how bad the bleeding is. I guess it sounds like it's a pretty terrible time, but in reality it's not. No, at least for me, I'm very optimistic. I don't really let my hemophilia control me. I had to go around certain obstacles as far as like school goes and certain things of life, but I'm always happy. I always find a way to enjoy my life, and that's just really important. Hemophiliacs, we all know how to have fun. Like I said, we travel. I've been going to hemophilia camps since I was 7 years old, and we do the same thing anyone else does. I mean, there's swimming, it's basketball, there's archery.
Most of your friends have it.
Yeah, so I have friends that I've grown up with at hemophilia camp, and we're all older, and they all have hemophilia. I have friends with hemophilia that I've grown up with. Yes.
Now, has that inhibited you in any way, as far as working or having a job?
Absolutely. So, you can imagine being hurt all the time. So there's days where, I missed a lot of school. I had to miss a lot of school growing up. And then also, with ankle and knee bleeds, you can't walk. So there's oftentimes where, I have to go to school in crutches. I was confined to a wheelchair for about a whole year because, I just kept bleeding in my right knee, like just so much. I was confined to a wheelchair for about a year. You miss a lot of school growing up. And as an adult, hemophilia is, like I said, hemophilia is not commonly known. And it's just hard to keep jobs because, you're missing work. And, a lot of jobs, they have an attendance policy. And, it's really hard to keep jobs with hemophilia. It's kind of hard to do jobs because even if it's your simplest task, you can get an injury from. I mean, if you're doing your normal wear and tear on your joints, you're going to get a bleed eventually. So, it's difficult to keep jobs sometimes. Desk jobs are kind of encouraged, but, like any other male, I'm hard-headed. So I take physical jobs, but, because I want to live my life. But growing up, it's a little easier to manage than a kid because you kind of learn about your bleeding disorder. You kind of figure out, what your limits are. So you also, when you're a child, a lot of times you go in the hospital to do your treatments. But as an adult, we can poke ourselves and do our own treatment. So, I go to work. If, I have to infuse, I'll go in the break room, just go ahead and break out the needle and mix all medicine and go ahead and infuse. I've infused on a plane. I've infused, while camping. I've infused right in the woods. It's just, and they teach you that at hemophilic camp. They teach you how to be very independent. They teach you how to teach, more about your bleeding disorders. I'm very independent. And that's why I just say, I don't try not to let it rule my life too much because, like I said, I've infused right at work. I have no problem doing at work. I've infused at school before. It's just something that you just have to take care of. But it can be difficult as far as school and jobs go. But medicine comes far, every year, things get better. You have longer lasting medication. And I'm on medication now, and my bleeding is, it's controlled a lot, lot better. But medicine does get better, every year. And management gets better every year. It's not so much talk of a cure that we want, but, you know, just management. And, you know, a lot of us are managing well. You know, a lot of us are getting married. You know, people are having families. You know, we're doing great. It's just really the education part of it that we just, you know, we're big advocators.
You know, that's a good thing because you don't want to see anybody down on themselves. But because I think something, because of the fact that you've grown up with it and you know better how to, you know, work through it, other than somebody finding out that they have it maybe later on in life, they could probably become very depressed.
Mm-hmm.
But with you, you're still going on and doing things. That's a good thing. That kind of keeps your mind in good shape as well.
Yeah, it's important. I mean, my mom was always very supportive about things like we were passionate about. Like, I love to read. You know, I love to read comics. I was really into my video games. You know, I was really into my friends. My mom was.
So how do you supportive. Like the Marvel comics?
That's what I'm crazy about. That's I'm an insane Marvel fan. I couldn't tell you
have
how much
you
money
seen
I spent
Black
in the
Panther?
Comic book week. I've seen it 4 times.
Oh, my gosh, four.
Yeah, but see, you know, even things like that, see, and that's just another reason why, you know, even when I'm having a bleed, I still have my comic books. Like, there's things that you can do. If I'm in the hospital, I'm bringing a bag full of comics to read. You know what I mean? Like, I've brought my, and I'm a gamer, too, and I brought,
oh, gosh.
If I'm in the hospital for a long period of time, I'll bring my Xbox up there with me. Like,
oh, my
gosh. If I know that I got to have to get hospitalized, I'll bring my duffel bag of things. Like, there are things that, and that's why it's
important. Do they allow that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But see, I mean, I go to the U. So, you know, at the hospital is kind of, you know, after being in hospital so much, the hospital kind of, I mean, I guess it's a little sad, but it becomes a second home. So, I mean, if I know I'm going to get hospitalized or something, I'll call ahead. And I'll just say, hey, I have a bad bleed. And then my nurse will say, all right, I'll have, you know, I'll let the ER know you're coming in. So, like, they already know I'm coming up there by the time you even get there. And so if I know I'm going to be up there a week, you know, I'm going to be having my own hospital room. So if I'm going to be there for a while, I might as well get comfortable. So I'm just going to bring my comic and bring my laptop. You know, and my friends are
now,
going to
I can see those, but your game system, I mean, that's different.
Yeah. I look it up.
You're not in a private room, are you?
There's been times where I have, yeah. There's been most of the time, I mean, hospital rooms are shared. But there's been times where I have my own private rooms. You know, with hemophilia, you know, you're doing a lot of medication through veins. So, you know, over time, my veins have gotten really, really bad. So I've had to have things like PICC lines, and I've had to have ports. And that's like a catheter in the chest. And so sometimes those things get, like, affected sometimes. So sometimes you have to, go in for antibiotics and stuff like that. And they have to kind of quarantine you. Because, you know, it's like a blood infection, basically. So there's been times I have my own. I'm perfectly okay with that. I mean, I'm okay with that. I have my comic books and I have my friends. But, I mean, really, I can just tell everybody it's just really important to just have something that you're, like, a hobby, you have something you're passionate about. There's a lot, you know, hemophilia can't be hard. This is like a disability. It's really hard, but there's still a lot about life to be positive about. You know,
absolutely.
Like those things that I'm passionate about. Like, I have those Marvel things that I'm passionate about. I love my children. I love my friends. I love my friends to death. I love my girlfriend. You know, I love my family. There's so much still in life to just be okay. There's still so much in life to care about. To be happy
that's
about
true.
Because, you know, hemophilia is only part of who I am. Because it's like, it's just part of me. So, you know, I try not to just let it get to, you know, so does it sometimes? Yeah. But then, I remind myself that there's more to it. So.
Yeah. I have a saying that, you know, everyone is dealing with something. And that's just life, as you said. So it sounds like your attitude is great. I love it. And most of your friends are like this?
Yes. We're a very hard-headed
community.
So
you guys help each other.
Yeah. And I mean, and we're just, you know, we're just really independent. We're really strong-minded. Like, we're kind of like those people. Like, if you tell us not to do something, we're going to do it just because you told us not to. We're going to show you that we
just
are able.
Hey, I'm like that too, and yeah. I don't have hemophilia.
Okay. Yeah. Don't tell me what I can't.
We have another question or a comment someone wants to talk to you about. Hi, caller. Thanks for calling in. Do you have a comment or a question for my guest?
Yes. What's the comment and a question? Mr. Lieberman,
okay.
How old is your daughter?
My daughter is 9.
9?
Yes.
How is she dealing with the situation, and how are you able to help her?
So my daughter's a carrier, and like I said, there's two different types of carriers you can be. You can be a symptomatic carrier where you can still have, you know, bleeds. It's a rare occasion, very rare. But with carriers, they don't really have symptoms. The only symptoms that carriers could have, sometimes there's a little bit of light bruising here and there. You know, periods themselves might be a little longer, but as far as that goes, you know, she's going to be fine. Like, that's just as far as the problems that she'll see if she's not symptomatic. You know, she's not too active, so she's not, you know, buffing and bruising. She's really a girl, you know, girl. So, you know, she's really into My Little Pony, so it's kind of hard to bruise herself into that. But she knows her dad is, you know, a hemophiliac. She knows when her dad's hurt. You know, my daughter's helped me mix my medicine many times. Like I said, you know, I teach her what it is. And, you know, she's a carrier, so what's great about her is, you know, she'll be able to go to camp that I went to when I was 7 years old. So, I mean, it's awesome that I get to, like, pass that on to her, which is great because I love my hemophilia community. They're amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, so she can pass it on to one of her children if she has a child.
Right, so, yeah, so if she has a child, she has a 50-50 chance of passing it on to her daughter or son. So if she has a daughter, she has a 50-50 chance of the daughter being a carrier. If she has a son, mm-hmm. It's a 50-50 chance that he will be a hemophiliac.
Oh, that's interesting. It would seem like it's been around for such a long time that science would have had somewhat of a grip on it by now. A better grip on it, I should say.
You'd think. You'd think that. But as far as science goes, I mean, cure, no, but their medication does get better every year. Management gets better. So, like, you know, medicine lasts a little longer, so you don't bleed as much. So there's two types of, you know, treatment that we can do for ourselves. We have a thing called prophylaxis or prophy, and that's like when you're on a schedule. So you would take, like, your factor maybe every other day, you know, just to keep that clotting factor in your body at all times. And then mm-hmm. Sometimes we just take our meds only when we bleed. And that's just, you know, that's kind of, you know, what I do. But medicine goes, you know, it's getting better every year. For example, I'm on medication right now, and I can't really go out to any names just because it's still in the testing stage. But
yeah,
it's so good that I haven't had an injury in the whole year. Yeah, and it's only by the grace of God that, you know, these scientists were blessed enough to figure this thing out and to help. And I haven't had an injury in an entire year. And I don't know any hemophiliac at least severe. In my case, I've never had it, like, not bled in a year. It's incredible. It's an amazing journey so far. But, you know, that's just showing that science is getting better. We're finding other ways to manage this. And I kind of mm-hmm. hope that science gets better for other people, you know, those for sickle cell, those with AIDS and HIV and, you know, other problems. Because, you know, science does get better. You know, it's just, you know, it does get better. But, you know, it's just like grace to God, and we just take it day by day.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you very much, sir. And I'm enjoying the program. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. Okay, we're going to take another break, and we'll be back with the Let's Talk.
Is your food bland and you want to spice it up? Does it taste like something is missing? What's missing is my seasoning, Butch's Bodacious Seasoning, all-purpose seasoning, good on absolutely everything but ice cream. I'm Linda Porter, President and CEO of Butch's Bodacious Seasoning. To get the spice back in your life, call me at 313-393-2738. You won't regret it. Thank you.
This is Dr. Joanne Dixon, pastor of the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church at 2234 North Front Street here in Philadelphia. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and at 11 a.m. for morning worship. Prayer and Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can follow us on Facebook or dial 267-314-5220. We are a loving church and a learning church, which make us a growing church. God bless you.
Do you know a youth in need of a place to live? Have you always wanted to make a difference in the city of Detroit, but not known how? The answer to both of these questions is Covenant House, Michigan. Covenant House is a youth homeless shelter serving 18 to 24-year-olds in the city of Detroit with education, resources, job preparation, and so much more. If you'd like to learn more about these programs, please call 313-463-2000 or look us up on the web at www.covenanthousemi.org.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Autism affects 1 in 68 children, sweeping all racial, ethnic, and socioeconomic groups. Autism is a lifelong brain disorder that leads to untold challenges to the physical, financial, and social well-being of people with autism and their families. Resources are stretched thin. The Autism Alliance of Michigan, a collective voice for families across the entire state, uses resources to help families battle challenges right here, right now. If you or anyone you know needs help navigating the autism journey, contact the Autism Alliance of Michigan today, 877-463-AAOM, or visit them online at aaomi.org.
If you are in need of life insurance, auto or home insurance, or need help in getting out of debt, call your helpful insurance agents at Prime Financial Services. Did you know if you add a child rider to your life insurance policy, you can add multiple children for the price of one, starting at $10,000 worth of coverage for under $10? Call today for a free quote at 313-293-0979. Mention you heard this ad on this show for a free gift.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Okay, and we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. And my guest tonight is Mr. Harvey Liberman, who has been living all of his life with hemophilia, which is a blood disease. And it has his blood has a problem clotting. It clots, but it takes some time. So, Mr. Liberman, you've been dealing with this all of your life. What are some of the things that you do when you go to camp?
So it's a camp for kids with bleeding disorder. So it kind of depends on the week. But kids go there from the age of 7 to, 12 or 13. We have multiple camps. So things that you do at camp, you do your archery, you have your waterfront, your swim lessons, you have your nature, you have your outdoor stuff. Arts and crafts. We do the same thing other camps do. Now, to a parent, it may seem, he's got this crazy, all these, kids running around with a bleeding disorder, but the difference is, the camps, there are doctors and nurses there. So we have a great staff from U of M Hospital, nurses, doctors, and we also have med students that go for the whole remainder of the camp. It's kind of part of their curricular school and everything.
But do you guys have seminars and talk about your illnesses?
Yeah. So also there's there's conferences and stuff that we go to that we have every year. I do things like with National. I go to conferences with the National Hemophilia Foundation. I do things with them. Hemophilia Foundation of Michigan does a camp. They have their Spring Fest that they do with the families surrounding in the Midwest area that come together for a conference. You know, we've done things for, like, we've done a Frankenmuth thing. So we'll have, like, the book Frankenmuth for, like, the whole weekend. We have, like, different classes and, like, round tables that have different topics.
Okay.
You know, like, living with hemophilia, you know, marriage with hemophilia, you know, even, you know, marital relationships, you know, with hemophilia, you know, different, you know, different people from different pharmaceutical companies come in to, like, let them know, you know, what's new on the market, you know, just, you know, there's just new things that come out every year. So, I mean, it's a great time for all the families to get together and learn different things.
Okay, that sounds great. So you exercise as well?
I am a swimmer, more or less.
Okay.
Not so much exercise, but swimming, I love to swim. My mom had a pool back in her yard, and, you know, it's because of her, you know, I stayed in that thing. She also, you know, her with her guidance and, you know, grace of God, you know, she kept me in that pool. And, you know, I told you I was confined to a wheelchair for a year because of my bleeding.
Right.
You know, doctors, you know, told us, like, oh, I would never walk again. You know, this and that. And my mom was just like, you know, I remember she tells me the story all the time. You know, she just says, you know, she sat there and was like, Lord, you know, I didn't know you just didn't bring me, you know, this kid for him to just fail. You know, so, you know, so, you know, she put me in that pool, you know, for hours at a time, you know, doing leg exercises. And I loved it. And I've been swimming ever since. Yeah, I love to swim. Yeah.
That's good. Well, I'd like to mention to my listeners, if you would like to ask Mr. Liverman a question or make a comment, then you may press the 1. We're going to take one last break.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Greetings, everyone. This is Erica Burnett, CEO and creative designer of A Single Suggestion, a business that specializes in handcrafted stationery. Visit our website at www.asinglesuggestion.com to see what we have to offer. Our email address is info@asinglesuggestion.com. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Pay us a visit to compliment your success at the hand of creative design.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White. Hello, Mr. Liverman.
Hello. Yep, I'm here.
Yes. I was saying that if my guests didn't have, or my listeners didn't have any more questions or would like to make comments, then I'm going to ask that you give us your final thoughts.
All right, great. So one thing that I always, you know, explain to people that life is really hard. It can be really hard. I always remember that there's always someone who's going through worse, who's going through bad times. So either way, life is either way, whether you're having a bad time, it's still momentarily. And everything is temporary. So just remember that life is temporary. So to enjoy it, God gave you the gift of life, so enjoy it.
But I have one more person that would like to make a comment or ask a question before you go. Listener, you're on with Mr. Liverman.
Hi, this is Terry from Texas. I've enjoyed listening to the show. Hello, Jenny White. Hello, Mr. Liverman.
How you doing?
Doing okay. I had a question. For females, you said it is possible for a female to not only be a carrier, but if her mom and her dad were both carriers, then she could have hemophilia as well, correct?
That is correct.
So how does that work with her menses? That with, time of the month?
Okay, so...
Oh, that's a great question. Great
question.
Yeah,
that's a great question. So it can be really, it can be extended. It can be long. For example, you know, I had a friend who, you know, was at camp at the time. And she was having some issues with her bleeding, and it was lasting really long. And I mean, longer than a week. And, you know, she just couldn't control it. So a lot of times symptomatic carriers are just not like on a schedule for the factor. So this is the time where they would like start taking the treatments because obviously they're having an issue with their bleeding. You know, I've not known a severe woman, you know, carrier. But, you know, things like that, then they will start taking factor. Like I said, a lot of these things are mutations. There, I do know of one more hemophiliac lady, and hers is just straight up through a mutation, and she takes factor just like any of the rest of us hemophiliac boys, and that's through mutation. That's just for, you know, the hemophiliac women alone, but as far as carriers go, if they are symptomatic, then they would just start taking that factor just like any other, like if it was a knee bleed or, you know, an ankle bleed or anything like that. But, you know, just imagine, you know, you're normal, you know, that time of the month, but it's just extended. So, you know, you just keep going and going. I mean, there, I think one time, I think she even had to have a blood transfusion because she bled.
Wow.
And that can happen. I've had blood transfusions before too. So, you know, it can happen. I haven't seen it too much though, but I just remember one case. But it's nothing that she deals with all the time. I just remember her having just that one case of it happening. And it was wild because none of us had even seen that before. So, you know, it can happen, but a lot of times it's just a little longer, you know, just a little longer than a week.
Wow.
That was an excellent question, Terry.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. And I really enjoyed the show. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, Ms. Terry from Texas, for calling in. And I would like to thank all of my listeners, whether you called in to ask a question or make a comment, or whether you called in and you just listened. I appreciate all of you, and I thank you for supporting me, which you do regularly. I appreciate that. And I also thank my guest, Mr. Liverman. I thank you.
I've enjoyed
very
myself.
Did you? I'm glad.
I did.
And I enjoyed having you. And whenever you get an opportunity, you can come back. Yeah. But I appreciate you coming on and hanging out with us tonight. And I hope everybody got at least something out of what Mr. Liverman said, because everybody's dealing with something. And like he said, you know, someone's always worse off than you. So we have to hold that in mind. And he also said, this too shall pass. So I'm saying good night. Enjoy your weekend from the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show.